Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Andy Baskin.
Yep.
Let's go to the fan hotline. He's Andy's partner on the Browns pregame show. He's mine on the Browns postgame show. He's the pride of Bedford. He's Mr. Tyvus Powell. Hello, Tyvus.
Tyvus!
Gentlemen, how are you two doing this morning?
Yeah.
Wow, you know the good news is?
Yeah.
We have, 12 more games to go, so lock in. Yeah.
Isn't that the truth? Okay, so riddle me this one, my friend. I thought the Browns played a pretty decent game and coached a pretty decent game for three quarters. And then in the fourth quarter, they didn't play very well, offensively or defensively, and I don't think they coached very well. What happened?
To me, it goes back to something that I continue to say. You know, the in-game adjustments is something that's non-existent right now. And I don't know why. You know, I think that, you know, we do a really good job of coming up with a game plan. And for the most part, we dominate our game plan. But it's always in the second half. If you go back and watch, look at our – let's take the last three losses that we've had. A lot of those points were scored in the second half of games. And to me, that tells me that the other team is doing a wonderful job of adjusting, and we are not. So we got to be better with that. Like, that to me is – because yesterday's game was one that was in the bag. You had it won, and you just let that slip away. And, you know, I just feel like good teams just don't do that. You know, you don't find ways to beat yourself, and you don't take your foot off the gas. And I think we did in that second half.
I know what the fans are saying. I wonder if the players are second guessing their coaching from yesterday. You tell me, you've been in those locker rooms.
I mean, the thing is, you always got to, instead of pointing the finger, you always got to pull the thumb, you know. That's the one thing that you have to do is take accountability.
Except for the noise that happens. I don't know. I've seen keep going. Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, you it's hard to put the blame on somebody else when you're so busy judging yourself. Like, I missed this play. That play could have been the difference. We know this is a game of inches, so it's not like everybody played perfect. You know, it was other opportunities in the game that led to everybody contributing to this loss. So it's not so much a finger pointing that goes on in the locker room. It's more so like, I didn't play perfect, and this is on me, like, because I should have did this. Like, I'm sure Denzel is thinking, I should have rerouted this corner. I should have rerouted Jordan Addison inside, and that would have stopped everything. Or it could be Isaiah Bond thinking to himself, I got that ball. I shouldn't have signaled first down. I should have gave the ball to the ref. That cost us some seconds. Like, it's different. Everybody got their own thing that they're trying to figure out. Like, okay, this is what I did that contributed to this loss. So it's not so that they're looking at the coaches and saying, like, y'all sold us out, like that type of thing.
What did you like, dislike about the defensive approach on that final drive by the Vikings? Did you like anything?
I mean, I thought it was fine, but it's just player. Justin Jefferson is the reason why he's one of the best receivers in this league, if not the best receiver in this league. I mean, he goes out there, he makes plays. I mean, I think in those situations, you wanted more of a double team. You wanted more four eyes on him and, you know, try to make it as difficult as possible. You know, I get that Denzel and G-New are really good cover corners, but when you got to have it and you know that that's the guy that they're looking for, you have to do things to stop them from getting him the ball. You know, you wanted that pass rush to be a little bit better so that maybe he couldn't get down the field, or you wanted that safety to be over the top or something like that. I just think that they should have done a better job of taking him away as an option and making – if Jordan Addison or the Naylor kid makes a play or Hockenson makes a play, you live with that. You feel like you got enough talent that you could be able to compete with that. But Justin Jefferson shouldn't have been the guy that had been able to catch a ball to put them in scoring range.
All right, assess Gabriel from top to bottom here. What we saw yesterday and where you think he can improve for next week and what he did well for his first start.
I gave him like a B plus performance. He did everything that you want. Listen, this is a guy that went across the pond, played in London as a starter, took care of the football, no turnovers, threw two touchdowns, threw for over 190 yards, had a running back that threw for over 100 yards. The defense got two takeaways, and yet we still lost. Like that's usually that what I just told you is a recipe for success, and somehow we found a way to lose. So I don't really put blame Dillon Gabriel at all. I mean, I think that if you look at the game plan, it was very conservative. It was a very conservative approach with him. I think he had – the only thing, if I want to critique him a little bit, what he could do is he could be better on passes over 10 yards. I think he was like 2 of 9 or something like that of passes over 10 yards, and that's not going to get it done. That falls right back into the same thing Joe Flacco was doing, throwing these dink and dunks and not getting the ball down the field. And I just think that's where our offense is lacking right now. We don't have that explosiveness. And that's why we're being figured out so well. People's like, oh, well, they're not going to throw the ball over 10 yards. All right, well, let's clutter everything under 10 yards and rally and be able to make tackles and be ready to come down and make hits. Like, that's pretty much what's going on. Unless you got athletes that's making guys miss, which we don't, then it's not going to be big gains on these plays. So at some point, the training wheels got to come off. We have to find a way to expand this playbook to being able to push the ball down the field. And that starts with Kevin and the play calling, and that also goes with Dillon being able to make those passes.
Were they conservative because it was his first start, you think, or were they just conservative?
Yeah, I believe so. The thing about what Kevin is doing with Shador and Dillon is he's taking all the heat for it. But he's really trying his best to put them in the best spot, you know, not give them too much to succeed, try to see how much they can handle in the game. And so far they've done a great job of doing that. But now it's like, all right, let's keep expanding. Like this next game against Pittsburgh, I better see some balls going down the field, like more than 10 yards. Like that, it's time. Like we're on week 6 now. Like it's time to show, like, all right, for the first 5 weeks, we've been very conservative, been dinking and dunking. All right, let's throw some double moves in there. Let's push the ball down the field, because I think these receivers are eager to do that. You got the reason you brought Isaiah Bond in and gave him this guaranteed contract, it was not to catch 5-yard outs. It wasn't to catch flat routes. That's not the reason why you paid. If that was the case, you could have paid me that money and I would have did it. So you brought him in here because he has that skill set to be able to spread the field. The reason you went and got Jerry Jeudy is because he runs good routes. Let's utilize these things and let's scare some of these defenses to get them to back up, because that will help Quinshon. He's already been a guy. Think about it. Quinshon's been putting over 100 yards and doing the things that he's been doing with a loaded box, because nobody's respecting the passing game, so everybody's cramming the box. And he's still putting this out. Just imagine if that passing attack comes involved. Now you're talking about 6-7-man box, and he's able to do what he's doing. Like that, you would have the best of both worlds. So the next step for this offense is get the ball down the field. We could just
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Do it.
I want to look back at the game one more time yesterday. As you look at the failure that happened, and I think some people want to look at the entire game, some people want to look at the fourth quarter, a lot of people want to look at the last 4 minutes of the game. How do you see it? Like, where was the epic fail? And how do you make it so that you don't fail in those final 4 minutes, that you play all the way through until, you know, 0-0? And that's not, we talk about complimentary football, but the coaching staff's got to be in on that too. That's got to be the fourth estate, I would say.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. They lost that whole thing as a team, as players and coaches both butchered that fourth quarter. I mean, the first thing that pops up is, I think it was 3rd and 11. I think it was the last time we had the ball before they went down and scored. 3rd and 11. I'm watching it, and they're talking about, oh, worst case scenario, keep the ball in bounds and let's chew some clock. They throw the ball, it's an incompletion. So the clock is stopped. Clock is stopped. And I can't remember at that time how many timeouts the Vikings had. I feel like they might have 2 or 1. It wasn't a lot. And the fact that they didn't keep that clock running, it didn't force the Vikings to call their final timeout. Then we get the ball, or they get the ball, and now we're talking about once Justin Jefferson made that catch and got down the field, that's when all the timeouts started to get ripped. And I guess in that point, if you look at it from that standpoint, it's, oh, well, they want to save as much time. They feel the Vikings are going to score at some point, whether it's a field goal or the touchdown, so they want to conserve as much time as possible. To me, how I look at it is, you don't know how people operate. The two-minute drive is, a lot of people would say, arguably, is one of the hardest things to execute in football. And you kind of made it easier on them because it's a lot of chaos that goes on in that two-minute drive. You got things that's happening fast. The clock is running. You got to make quick decisions. When you call that timeout, you're giving them time to think. Now, don't get me wrong. They can still stop the clock. Obviously, spiking the ball stops the clock, but that's one less play that you have to worry about. So I wasn't a huge fan of calling the timeouts. Obviously, you know, hindsight's 20/20. We can say that. But even in that moment, I don't think I would have called the timeouts. I would have trusted that my defense would have been able to get something done. And worst case scenario, I would have at least believed that they would have given up a field goal, and we would have went in an overtime, and we would have just handled it that way.
Tyvus Powell joining us from the Browns Radio Network. We started the show talking about this. We all know how pro sports works. It's been 10 straight games, 17 or fewer points. And this is, you know, in these situations, people often lose their jobs. If they stay the course here, I think it says it's a big picture outlook as to what's going on, and thinking more that this might be something that they're building for next year and beyond, Tyvus, because 17 points or more or fewer in 10 straight games, I mean, that gets people canned.
Yeah, it definitely does. I mean, the thing is that you just, the way I'm looking at it now, Jeff, is that I'm not, the wins and the losses are what they're going to be. You know, coming into this game, coming into this season, nobody predicted the Browns to win. I think it was like 4.5 or 5.5. It was the lowest win margin or whatever. And from all sports books. So it wasn't like nobody knew the Browns was going to win a bunch of games. The key for me was always the development of the rookies. That was it. When I tune in and watch these games, I am only looking at the young guys, because that's what's going to matter. The coaching staff might change. The general manager might change. The people that will be here will be that draft class that just happened. Like, those are the guys that we will be counting on two, three, four, five years from now. And as long as I see those guys continuing to make plays and get better every week, I'm content. The wins and losses is going to be what they're going to be. And I think as a fan base, we have to come to the realization that
We knew going into the season that we was optimistic. You know, you want to see good games. You know, if these was blowouts, we'd be singing a totally different tune. But so far, Harold Fanning really good. Quinshon Judkins been really good. Mason Graham, Carson Schwessinger, Dylan Sampson. Those guys have contributed and done the things that we wanted to see those guys do, and they've gotten better week to week. I'm hanging my hat on that.
Always a pleasure, sir. We'll talk to you next Sunday.
I'll see you guys next Sunday. Bright and early, ready to cheer on this Browns team to beat Pittsburgh.
It's not as early as it was yesterday, so let's let's be honest.
See you, Tyvus.
See y'all later.
Tyvus Powell joining us on the Fan Hotline.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.